Hey guys, this is the Everyday Ministry Podcast. Before we get into the episode wrapping up the ministry positions, I first wanted to make a comment and say that though this episode is wrapping up the different positions that we talked about, we do have one more episode that's going to come out in this series, but due to scheduling conflicts, we were not able to schedule it in time. But that will be the next episode, and in that episode, we will be discussing the relationship between the church and the pastor's wife. And so, super excited to have Daniel M. and his wife be guests on that episode as we have that discussion. But also, before we get into the podcast today, just wanted to announce the winner of the Amazon gift card drawing that we spoke of in the last episode. And to enter that gift card drawing, the people had to like that current episode on Facebook, as well as go to iTunes and rate and review the podcast. And for no further ado, we have Drew Rue 06. That's the iTunes name. And Drew, if you would, message one of us or on the Everyday Ministry Podcast page to receive the email for that gift card. We hope that in the future we're able to do more drawings like this. And in the meantime, we would be more than happy if you would like and review the Facebook page as well as iTunes. This helps us get the word out there of the podcast itself. Thank you so much.
Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry.
Welcome. We are recording yet another episode of the Everyday Ministry Podcast. We're excited to be here. We have got a whopping 4 people on the podcast tonight. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. We're pumped. Can't wait to see what happens. Wait to see how much editing James has to do at the end of this whole thing.
You sound really pumped when you say it that way.
I am so pumped. I am truly curious to see how this is going to play out. So it's going to be fun. But guys, I hope that you are all doing well. I'm doing pretty good. Hoping that my ministry will continue to grow in the way that I think that it is headed. We got some good stuff going on right now in the life of our ministry. Lots of opportunities to train some leaders. We got summer camp coming up with our youth group. We're going off to Gatlinburg, join another local youth group for that trip. So that's exciting. I'm pumped about that. It's coming up really fast. We just did our first fundraiser at our church, and I am not a fan of fundraisers, but this one actually went really, really well. It's amazing how different you can feel about a fundraiser when you have solid help. So I had tremendous help from our leaders, and that just was a great thing. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on with me. How about you guys? What's up with y'all?
Hey man, I'm doing good right now. I'm currently rating your podcast on iTunes. Sorry, I'm giving it a 5-star review, man. So I know you're
five
doing
stars.
So are you doing that just to win the $20 or?
I mean, I'm doing it just because I love the podcast.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
But other than that, hey, this is Chris, by the way. Everything's good with me.
Well, I see that you're not in your daughter's room this time. So
I'm not in my daughter's room. I'm on the couch. I don't even remember why I was in my daughter's room last time. But
she was sick or something.
Yeah, she was sick. And she was sleeping on the couch. And now I'm sitting on the couch and she's sleeping in the room. So yeah, my wife just yelled at me from, told me the answer from like 2 rooms away. So yeah, everything's good. No sick kids. Doing good.
Yeah, well, I'm doing good too, guys. Kind of haven't had an eventful week so far. First 2 days of this week, we had some troubles at work. I was telling James before we got on here, we had a water main break and a gas main break yesterday, so we had to shut down halfway through the day, and then we had some issues today, so we had to shut down early. It's just been a really eventful week. My mother was in the hospital, but she got out today, praise God, and I actually didn't even find out until today. Like, she went in Sunday, And my family just happened to tell me today, but got over there and made sure she was doing fine. She's out. And so everything's going well on my end.
Awesome, guys. I was in New Orleans this past weekend for a conference. And after that, I had to knock out the rest of my 20-page paper in Hebrew that I finished for Monday. But I only have about two more papers to go, about 25 pages put together. So it's not too bad.
L'chaim.
Yeah, don't even talk to me right now. Right now, once again, watching the Braves as we record. So that's productive. But they're in the 12th inning, 7-7. So it's a tight game. So I can't cut it off. Maybe they'll win this one. They didn't win the last one. Let's hope so. But everything's going well on my end. Just living life, ministry, school, work, just like normal. But this evening, or whenever you're listening to this episode, we're going to be coming to a conclusion of this series we've been doing this year about the different ministry positions that we find within the church. It's been a really, really good time talking about the different things as pastors or worship pastor or youth. And that's why we have both Jamie and Chris back on here, because we're going to tackle this area as a conversation between all four of us, how it all fits together, how a pastor, a youth pastor, a lay elder, and a church member works together to further the kingdom and to see God's church in a local body grow and to reach those that surround them. And so as we jump into it, as Daniel said, as he was starting the podcast for us, there's four people on here. We've never had four people on here.
You haven't had all three of the podcast host on the episode.
We have not had all three podcast hosts on the episode. Corey, that's a shot at you, my friend.
And he was supposed to be on here tonight.
It's been happening right now.
Yeah, there would have been five on here. So, yeah, it would have been interesting for sure. Probably would have been an hour and a half long. You know, two youth pastors get together. They talk a lot. So,
I have no comment to that.
That's okay, though. Anyhow, so as we move into the podcast, I just want to tee it off and just kind of ask the question of, you know, how can a pastor best serve you in the position which God has you in? And so really just look at it in the perspective of a youth pastor, a lay elder, and then a church member. And there may be some overlap in these questions. There may be some overlap in between your answers. And that if that's the case, that's okay. But I'll start with Daniel. You know, just give us one idea of how a pastor can best serve you in your leadership role.
Well, I can definitely speak on how my pastor now serves me. My pastor serves me consistently by each time that he sees me, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter how many times he's seen me that week, each time he sees me or even talks to me on the phone, one of the first things he asks me is, how are you? And he's not asking about my ministry. He's not asking about that student that I was supposed to follow up with. He's not asking about that hospital visit that I was supposed to go on. He's asking me about me. How are you? And I think that in a major way, the more I sense his genuineness in how he asked me that or how often he asked me that, that has been such an encouragement to me, because I know that first and foremost, he is my pastor, but even before he's my boss. And that's a interesting dynamic to know that. But as he and I have grown in our relationship, I have no doubt that he is first my pastor, that he has just as much interest in ministering to me and helping me grow in my faith as he does in seeing me succeed in my position in the life of our church. So that's one of the best ways that he serves me. I would say the other way that he serves me is that when I bring ideas to him about my ministry, you know, something that we've got going on in the life of our youth group, he listens well. That's a tremendous thing, to just listen. He doesn't try to shut down the conversation because he hears me throw something out that he thinks might be a failure or something that was previously a failure. He hears me out. And then on top of that, he allows me the space to potentially fail on my own if he sees that that's something I need to do. And so my pastor now is tremendous in how he serves me. And it's been such an encouraging thing, because he's from the business world. And really and truly, I didn't know how that was going to translate to ministry world. But I can definitely tell you that he has been a tremendous leader for me, someone I've already learned so much from, even just in the year that I've been here. And so the best way that a pastor can serve their youth pastor is be their pastor first before you're their boss, and listen well and allow them room to fail when they need to.
Awesome. Man, I couldn't agree with that more. Chris, we'll go with you. How can a pastor best serve the lay elders in the church?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll start off by agreeing with the fact that, yeah, they have to be your pastor first. So I guess I'll let Jamie talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, that's always what you look for in someone, is that they are, in fact, your pastor. And second to that, I mean, I think that just being there and, I mean, I guess along the lines of what you were just saying, is that being encouraging, being supportive of my ideas, listening to my ideas, taking them, you know, valuing what I can, in a sense, bring to the table, and then kind of guiding and, you know, making it work, or, you know, and in that kind of sense of, we're not rudderless, but like, maybe I have all these ideas, or I have these things I want to do, and he has the wisdom and the leadership and the experience to kind of help shape that into what it can be or what it should be. So not just telling me what to do all the time, but especially, I mean, specifically at the church that I came into in my role, it wasn't a 100% defined role, whereas a lot of people do want that, and, you know, that can be good. But my pastor kind of brought me in and was just like, well, we're not going to make you this, that, or the other. We're going to see, you know, where you fit and what you can bring and what you can do, and then we're going to, you know, work with it is probably a bad word to use, but, you know, if God has called you here, he has what he wants for you to do, and we're going to see like how that works out, kind of thing. So I think from the very beginning, that's been our relationship.
Almost utilize your talents and giftings to best serve the church.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Awesome. Well, this is where it may get awkward, but Jamie, as your pastor, you can sit here and tell me how I've messed up everything. But how can a pastor best serve the church member?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I think about is, of course, effective leadership, and not just leadership when it's easy. You know, many times it's easy to lead me as a church member or any of the church members when it's very easy to do. But sometimes there are times when you have to point out areas and a church member's life, or just in their overall, whatever it may be. I'm not really sure what to say, but just really point out some of the things that can be tough. For example, in my life, as you are my pastor, you've helped to lead me in ways that many times have been uncomfortable. I've expressed to you my calling to one day, of course, leadership now, but maybe possibly pastor one day myself. And you've helped to push me in cultivating that. And many times it's been uncomfortable. Many times it's been hard. Many times it's something that I've kind of wanted to push off. But you keep leading me. You keep showing me. And that's something that I've noticed since I've been here at Lighthouse, is that you do try to help each and every church member realize their full potential and whatever it may be that God is calling them to. For example, with us doing this Wednesday night Bible study that we're doing, is we're trying to grow more leaders in that, instead of letting me lead and not giving anybody else the opportunity. You have put people in a position to lead them in being a leader in that setting. So for me, that's a very effective way to be a pastor to a church member.
So just to sum up the takeaways, really what I'm hearing from you guys is, first, be their pastor, as in seek their spiritual health and how they're doing. Secondly, see the ministers of the church as equals, not just people underneath you that you boss around. And then thirdly, is develop and guide and then help them grow in their walk, not only in Christ, but in their walk as a minister in the whatever setting they may be in. Guys, I think this is some great takeaways. Chris, I think it's your time now to kind of go into the next question.
Yeah, James, I was going to ask you and the other guys, what is one way that a lay elder can best serve you specifically, serve the pastor?
I personally think it begins with really stepping in areas of where that lay elder is gifted in. So often it may be that someone may want to step in and help in a way that may be the senior pastor per se's gifting. And so it may not be best to step in that kind of role. For example, if let's say my gifting is a technology side of things, which I would say it is to some extent, you know, I may not need a lay elder nor church member, whoever, to step in and take that role, but I may need them to step in and take the role of, you know, doing announcements or teaching on a Wednesday night, like Jamie just talked about, or whatever it may be. And then secondly, I would say is, and the biggest thing for me is keeping the pastor accountable. Because so often, even though we've talked about it in the last episode with church, well, two episodes ago with the church members, is that lay elders are members of the church as well as elders of the church. So one of the biggest things they can do for their senior pastors, keep them accountable, not only in their ministry walk or their walk with Christ, but in the way that they are leading the church. Because if a lay elder is doing its job, it knows the needs of the church just like a senior pastor does. So jump in there, keep the pastor accountable in all areas of life.
Cool. Jamie, what is one way that a lay elder can help the church member, or the average church member, I suppose?
Yeah, well, this is something I don't exactly have a lot of experience in because I didn't grow up in church, and many of the churches that I've attended since I've been a Christian did not really have this system of eldership. But I'll give it a shot anyway. I would say that even though we are all equal as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to realize that certain positions do hold a certain importance in the church. And when we see people holding a leadership role, such as an elder, or of course a pastor, or whatever it may be, we do look up to those people for a special kind of leadership that we may not get from the other church members per se. Now, I want to be careful when I say that everybody should feel a responsibility to lead in some sort of way, but we have to acknowledge that elders do hold a position that is a bit higher. So with that being the case, I would say that the elders should seek to do what they can to lead all the other members. And as a member, we should be looking up to them, looking up to their guidance, looking up to their experience, looking up to their understanding as leaders in the church.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's good. And then what is one way that a lay elder can help the youth pastor?
So,
Daniel, sorry.
that's good. My initial thought is that kind of what I'm thinking is that the lay elder and the member, church member, can both kind of assist the youth pastor in very similar ways. So my answer might sound kind of the same between both. But one thing that I do see specifically with elders is oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes the gift of teaching. And so I would definitely say that a lay elder, an elder in the church, could most definitely assist the student pastor in helping either in teaching students, whether it be, you know, on a fill-in on a Wednesday night, or coming in and speaking on, you know, somewhat of a regular basis to just give them a different perspective, or assist a student pastor in training a volunteer team. I've got a team of about, I think, 7 right now. And one of my biggest challenges and one of the biggest things that's constantly on my mind is training them, continuing to find opportunities to encourage them, to help them grow, to show them new perspectives, new ideas on how to look at student ministry, on how to reach out and love students. And so I think that one big thing that an elder could definitely do is assist in that training effort and helping the student pastor grow in his knowledge and wisdom of how to train as well. Because, you know, most student pastors these days, I would say the majority are probably younger in ministry. That's not all. I know lots of guys who are lifelong student pastors, but the majority are probably younger in ministry, and therefore an elder can come along that student pastor and help him in those areas of ministry, in learning how to train, in growing in his or her knowledge of the word, and so on and so forth. So that's kind of what I would say would be the best way from my perspective that an elder could assist a student minister, is just by coming along, being a teacher, and also teaching him maybe in the area of training and equipping others in the area of discipleship ultimately.
Yeah, it's good. So I guess I'll summarize that real quick. So in terms of helping youth pastor, it would be helping come alongside the youth pastor to train and lead him and the students. And in terms of church members, basically being a pastor and a fellow member alongside of those members. And then I have no idea what James said. James wants someone else there. I think the main thing that I caught from what he said was the lay elder helping keep the lead pastor accountable and being there, I guess, as an encouragement and help for him. Is that right?
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, definitely. From my perspective, yes.
All right, so we hear from the pastor, the lay elder, and I guess the most natural progression would now be the youth pastor. So, Daniel, if you would, take it over from here, man.
Yeah, okay. So I want to ask Jamie first, just to switch it up a little bit. Jamie, what is one way that a youth pastor can best serve the member of the church?
Oh, well, we'll see.
Good luck, since we don't have our youth pastor at our church.
Well, I'm going to look at it from my perspective. Well, as a father, and we have a 2-year-old daughter, so we haven't reached the point where we have really thought about this area of church life. But looking into the future and what I would like to see from a youth pastor is to come alongside us as parents and raising our daughter and our next daughter and that we're about to welcome here in a few months.
Hey.
yep, we're excited. But just coming alongside us as parents and helping lead our daughter in her spiritual life. And I say it that way for a specific reason, because many people in the church that I've recognized over the last few years is that they want the youth pastor to do all the work of leading their children's spiritual life. And
preach it.
Exactly. So I wanted to say it that way because, yes, the youth pastor does hold a very important role. They're actually pastors. So they are important, but we have to realize that it starts at home. And so we begin the process at home and then allow the youth pastor to come alongside us and lead our daughter or lead our son, whoever it may be, as a church member. And yeah, I mean, I would say that's the most important part, is coming alongside us as parents in the church.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's something that I have struggled with a lot in the earlier years of my ministry. This is actually my 10th year of student ministry. And in the first, unfortunately, probably the first half of my ministry, I definitely battled against parents, and I did not assist them. I did not partner with them. I did not come alongside them in the way that I should have. And that was something that I just was immature, for lack of a better way of putting it. I was just immature. And I thought, parents, just look, I know what's best for your kids. Get out of my way. Bring your kids to the church and just let me have them. I'll fix them. That was just a terrible, terrible, terrible way of looking at it. And so since the Lord has changed me and helped me to mature, I love partnering with parents now. Not every parent is easy, but I do really enjoy getting to partner with parents now, because not only when you partner with them do you get a deeper look into their child's life, but you also get to celebrate the things that happen in their child's life with them, because together you've been pouring into their kid and together you've been discipling and together you've been able to see that growth in that child's life and ultimately in that family's life. And so that's a really exciting thing. And I think exactly what you said is just what I would I would encourage any youth pastor to learn as early as possible, that partnering with the parents is key. So I appreciate you saying that. James, how about you, man?
I think the best way a youth pastor can aid a pastor, and I guess this is coming from my own failures as when I was a youth pastor stepping into the role of a pastor, is understanding that even though you're a youth pastor, even though you're a pastor of youth, as Jamie touched on and you just explained, your role is to pastor more than just youth. You're supposed to step up and help the pastor in all areas of the church life, but especially in the parents' life of the children. And I'm not going to talk too much on it because I think Jamie and yourself took care of that one pretty well. And then secondly, it sounds very similar to what I told Chris about the lay elders, is to keep your pastor accountable. I hear too many situations in too many places where youth pastors sit back and let the pastors, you know, not give any insight of what's going on in the church's life or the pastor's spiritual life. If that church hired you as a youth pastor, they hired you as a pastor of their church. And don't take that lightly, and use that your calling to also not only help the pastor, but also keep him accountable in his walk. Because guess what, pastors? We mess up. We screw up. We make mistakes. We don't do everything perfectly. And we need a little bit of people calling us out on things at times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate that input. And sometimes it's difficult to be willing to hold your pastor accountable. But when you have the transparency in that relationship, it's definitely a blessing to be able to have that transparency and to speak openly with your pastor about things that maybe you see that you need to address with him.
Yeah. Well, when you're in the second chair, per se,
I'm like the fifth chair at my church, so whatever.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky they let you sit there. but yeah, when you're in that second chair, I mean, it is a little more intimidating because, I mean, you still got to pay your bills, feed your family, do all of that kind of thing. But hopefully your pastor's at a position where they can take some criticism every now and then. And if pastors, if you're not there, then you need to check up.
Boom. All right. Chris, how about you, man? What's a way that the youth pastor can assist the elder in the church?
That's a good question.
Glad I asked.
Where we are specifically right now, we don't have a youth pastor per se. We have, because the last associate pastor who left, he was a youth pastor. So we currently have a couple of the deacons and one main deacon who kind of is leading the youth at this point. And what I benefit from most, I think, is just seeing people who are doing it, they haven't been hired, they haven't been designated a title or anything like that, but they're filling a position and they're filling a need that they see in the church. So, you know, I think from where I am right now, the people who are, you know, teaching the youth and, you know, planning stuff for the youth and all that, it's just the most benefit to me, really, that they're even doing it at all.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think in terms of, you know, just the back and forth relationships that we have in terms of leading and discipling and that kind of stuff, you know, it's just encouraging to be with other men who actually have a heart for those things and to learn from them and to grow together. But, you know, I'm speaking from limited experience.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And I think, you know, a lot of times volunteer student ministers who are really just filling in the gap, mm-hmm. those are the ones that really probably have a greater impact than even paid staff members sometimes, because those are the ones who are doing it. They're not doing it to help feed their family. They're doing it because it is out of pure passion to see that ministry grow and to see those students, or whatever area of ministry for that matter, to see those people grow in their walk with the Lord. Man, that is, it takes guts to be willing to step into that. And it takes some tough skin too, because you step into that position and all of a sudden you got a bunch of critics on you as well. So that's strong. That's good.
Parents would never criticize a youth pastor, Daniel. I don't know what you're talking about.
Never, man. No, it's not the parents I'm worried about. It's the chairman of deacons.
All right, well, Guy's not on here to talk about deacons tonight. So before all four of us get in some water there, Jamie, jump in and you take it over.
Yeah, well, I'm going to start with you, James. What is one way I, as a church member, since I am a member of your church, can serve you as a pastor?
Well, I'm not going
to
make
it. Are you telling me you've never come to your pastor and asked him this before?
Oh, see? That's the first problem I'm dealing with, okay, dude, guys?
We serve you at least once every 2 weeks when we bring you over to have something for dinner.
Yeah, but if I cook the week before, then does that really count?
Yeah, I guess it cancels out, huh?
I'm going to look at it in two perspectives. I'm going to look at first the actual how you affect the pastor and then how you affect the church. And I know we kind of talked about this in two episodes ago, but just kind of relive it. First and foremost, as Jamie jokingly said last time, show up to church on time, ready for worship. That's a big deal, not only because we deal with it personally, but because I think it's a big deal in churches all over. But mainly the way you can best serve your church, your pastor, is being exactly what this podcast is about, an everyday minister, serving your Lord and Savior each and every day of your life by going out and making disciples, by sharing the gospel with people in the life that you live outside of the church, and then hopefully in the end, bringing people to church with you as they've come to know Christ or as God's working in their life. And the second thing, and this may seem like it doesn't help the pastor, but I promise you it does more than anything else, is build relationships with the other members of your church. Build those relationships, get to know one another, help one another, build one another up. Because I think if all three of us ministers represented here, pastors represented here, you know, you have myself and Daniel, which are bivocational pastors, and then you got Chris, which is a lay elder in the church, lay pastor of the church. You know, sometimes life is hard for us as well. We get busy, difficult things happen. And sometimes the pastor can't step in and minister like he needs to. So if you build those relationships with the other people in the church, maybe as a church member, you could step into that role and help minister with one another, but not necessarily the pastor has to or is able to. Not that we're lazy and we just want to sit at home, but that sometimes life is busy for us as well. And the third thing, the most simple thing you can do for your pastor is pray for them. I know that seems crazy, but pray for them as they prepare to preach on Sunday mornings. Pray for them as they minister to those around them. And then the same answer I gave about every other position tonight is keep your pastor accountable. And I know that seems like something I'm pushing real heavily, but lately, I'm not saying it's not always been like this, but lately we've seen too many men that are under the role of a pastor fall in moral failures or in educational failures of, plagiarism and things of that nature, or taking sermons and things of that nature. So just keep your pastor accountable as well. And I pray and hope that those listeners out there that may be church members, that you have a pastor that can receive a little bit of criticism, but also receive some accountability and love. And then when I say that, love your pastor. Too many pastors leave too quickly. And a lot of times it's because they don't have any support in the church that are vocal. Now, there's other things that lead to the pastors leaving too quickly. But for a church to really be what it's called to be, you have to have elders and pastors that are stepping up and leading. And you can't truly lead a church if you have one leaving every year and a half. So love your pastor, pray for him, keep him accountable, and serve him in the role of building relationships with not only him, but the other church members.
Yeah, that's good stuff. A couple of things I want to hit on really quickly that you mentioned that I thought were really good. Probably the first one would be as a church member, growing relationships with other people within the church. I know, that can be really difficult at times. We've seen that in our church personally. But, you know, I think it's a great way, not just to help the pastor, but I think it's just good for the overall health of the church if we grow relationships past a surface level where we're actually understanding other people and getting, you know, involved in their life and understanding their difficulties, understanding where they need help and where they need guidance. So I believe that's huge just in the overall health of a church, as well as helping a pastor, as well as accountability, which as a church member can be tough at times. I know that many churches I've been in, sometimes you see the pastor as elevated above yourself, mm-hmm. and they're almost untouchable, I guess. Mm-hmm. You get that feeling sometimes.
Maybe even on a TV screen, far, far away.
All right, let's not throw anybody under the bus here, but you know, for me and you, it's a little bit easier because we are such good friends. But I know that for a church member that may not have that relationship with the pastor, that can be difficult, but we need to do our part in holding a pastor accountable and lifting him up when he is down.
And I'm a perfect pastor. No accountability needed here. Daniel's a perfect youth pastor. He don't need that either. So.
That's right.
Enter right, Daniel.
I ain't saying that.
All right. Moving on. Chris, so what is one way a church member can best serve a lay elder?
Yeah, man, I agree with James, and that I think it applies to everyone, really, is the first of all, starting off with prayer. You know, praying for your elders is a big deal. And I would say that, along with all the other things, is that just a willingness to serve and a willingness to, I guess, kind of how I was talking about at our church, where we had the position that wasn't filled by anyone, but someone kind of took it upon themselves to fill it, that there's many areas in the church that oftentimes gets put on pastors and elders because they have a title, but members, we're all part of the same body, you know, God, we're feet, we're hands, we're, you know, we're all meant to do certain different things. But sometimes there's things in the church that a pastor could do, but maybe they don't have to do because the members, just quote unquote average everyday member, can come alongside them and take on those roles, or take on and fill in those needs and take care of those problems. And I just, you know, that's one of the many ways I think that members could help their pastors and elders, is just be willing to serve and be willing to not necessarily always call on the pastor to do something that they could, you know, through the grace of God, empowered by the Spirit, that they can actually do. So, yeah, I mean, that would be my one thing.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to add to that is, and it may not be like this in your church, Chris, but see the lay elders as pastors of the church too, because so I think sometimes in churches that have that role, they may not see them no more than another church member, but even though they're not paid for doing the role mm-hmm. that they're filling, they're still pastors over you, trying to lead you spiritually and help you be nourished in Christ. And so see that role as a role that they're filling for Christ as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess you could say that as that would be one way to help the lead pastor, is not always to bring everything just to him. But leaders in the church, you know, that they are available for that as well.
Yep, that was good stuff. All right, well, we'll move on. No, like I said, that's kind of, I don't really understand a whole lot about it because I've never been in a church with an elder, but so we'll go ahead and move on. What's one way a church member can best serve a youth pastor, Daniel?
So that's a loaded question. Mainly just because I guess part of it depends on how does that church member feel that they fit into the life of our church. So if you're a church member who is saying like, hey, that I think I want to get involved in the youth ministry of our church, I think I want to be on the leadership team, or I think I want to volunteer more often, I think I want to lead a small group or whatever it might be. If that church member is stepping in that way, then the best way that that member can serve is by being willing to basically buy into the vision that we have for our student ministry and then love those students like crazy. That's something that I'm still learning. Is how to best communicate to our team at our current church the value and importance of being present on a consistent basis and just showing our students how much they're loved. So that's one way I would say that a church member can assist and can help. Now that's, like I said, if that church member feels like they are being led by the Lord to come and really be a part of that ministry, if this is going to be, hey, this is where I'm focused in the life of our church, I'm focused on student ministry. If that church member does not necessarily feel focused on student ministry, the best thing that I would say a church member could do to assist the student pastor is still just love those students. Don't make our students feel alienated. Don't cause our students to think that they're the ones that are just getting in the way, that they're the ones who always, you know, break things at the church or make the place messy or they're too loud or they're wearing their hats inside, whatever it might be. Love our students first. There's time to discipline. There's time to teach them to be clean. There's time to teach them to honor the Lord when you walk into the Lord's house. I get that. I'm not trying to downplay that, but show them that you love them first. That's the best way that you could partner with me in our ministry and serve me is by showing our students who are your brothers and sisters in Christ that you love them. Because sometimes they might seem like they don't care what you have to say, but some of them might not care what you have to say because they think that all you have to say is negative stuff towards them. So, you know, I guess you kind of put me on a soapbox there when you asked that question, Jamie.
The bad thing is you knew it was coming. Like
I did. I haven't had a bad experience here at this church, and I haven't at my previous church either with members. Like as a whole, of course, there's always, you know, some, but for the most part, I just know the nightmare that it can be when church members are more concerned about the petty things that go on in the life of the church. And so the greatest way you can serve, the greatest way you can partner is show our students that they are loved and that you are excited for them to be a part of the life of our church.
Good. Yeah, I think that's good. And, you know, one of the great things about the body of Christ is being able to put away these cultural ideas of, you know, older people are supposed to hate the younger generation or whatever have you, and we can just worship together and we can lead and we can help each other, mold each other and grow each other, no matter our age group, no matter our ethnicity, no matter our whatever have you. I just think that's wonderful. And that's, we just need to seek to love all members and especially the youth, because I know for the older generation that can sometimes be a difficult task as we see change happening. But yeah, that's good points.
Yeah. Really good. Hey, and I will add this too real quick. We've got a men's ministry that at our church, they meet every Sunday night. And we've got a gentleman in our church named Bill, who he's kind of the main one in charge of this men's ministry. Bill is middle age. And he leads this men's ministry who has guys who are in their mid-20s all the way up to guys who are in their 70s and 80s in this men's group that meet. And he approached me a few weeks back and told me that the men's ministry had decided together that they wanted to seek opportunities to pour into our teenage guys, to build relationships, to mentor, to disciple, and just find opportunities to get together with them, whether it be camping, fishing, you know, getting outside of the church walls, going and doing a mission project, whatever it might be, to build those relationships. And man, I can't tell you how much that spoke to my heart that they did, that they talked together. I wasn't even in the picture when they talked about this, about the opportunity that they had to pour into our teenage guys, and seek out ways to mentor and disciple them. That's how you partner. Because this was a group of men who said, you know, like I said, all ages, they decided together, this is what we need to be doing. We've got to be about pouring into the next generation. And that's exactly what those guys, are partnering with our team and our ministry in seeking opportunities to do. And, you know, they're trying to think outside the box, and I appreciate that. It's not easy to think outside the box, but I think that as they continue to seek to look for ideas and find new ways to spend time with our guys, I do think it's going to pay off. So that's something that's going on in our current context as we speak. So just thought I'd add that in there as well.
Well, guys, I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. And at the end, after the plug of the week, we're going to have a time for you to add anything. Maybe you want to add to the conversation as a whole. But as we come to an end to the podcast, really want to just take an opportunity and just have a plug of the week. Obviously, it may be an array of ministry positions, or it could just be a resource in general. But the one I want to recommend, I'll start with myself, and then after that, I'll go to Daniel. And so you can be ready.
Recommend yourself.
No, I'm not going to recommend that'd be a horrible recommendation. You can ask Jamie. But anyway,
I'm going to recommend the Everyday Ministry Podcast.
I'm going to recommend that you go to Lighthouse Community Church and look up the sermons by James White. Don't do any of those things except for the podcast one. But if you're listening to this, probably already are. The recommendation I have is, it's called Scriptural Journals. It's by Crossway ESV. And what it is, and I'm going to show the guys so they can see it. It's,
I said, ooh, you got one? I've only seen them on the internet.
Yes, I have a set of the New Testament ones. And so what it is it's all of the New Testament books of the Bible in individual paperback books that on the left side of the page, it has the scripture, and on the right side, it has a completely blank page for journaling. And the reason I want to recommend this is as a pastor, now your pastor may not do this, so it may be harder for you. But like right now, I'm preaching through the entire book of John. We're only four chapters in. So, you know, you could grab one of these just for the book of John. You could have it and take notes as I preach through it, or your pastor preached through whatever book. And you could have notes prepared as he's preaching through this. And then outside of that, it'd be good for your own personal journey through scripture itself. Fantastic resource. Now, I don't think it's on sale anymore. So it's probably going to cost about $100. I bought mine for $50. Because I caught it on sale. Daniel, what's your recommendations?
Dude.
One recommendation, if any.
I just discovered, so I've heard of him before, but I haven't ever listened to him until last night. Shy Lin.
Fantastic.
Dude.
Fantastic.
Is solid. I go through spurts where I enjoy Christian rap, and then I just kind of, for whatever reason, just don't desire to listen to it for a period of time. And I was in Greek class last night, and my Greek professor, who doesn't like music hardly at all, talked about Shy Lin because of how solid his theology is. And so I was just like, okay, well, I'll listen to this guy. And so I downloaded his music last night, and pretty sure I listened to, I don't know, almost a full album in one night. And this morning woke up and went and looked up the lyrics to the songs just so I could listen and read them at the same time. Shy Lin, if you want to grow in your understanding of the word and grow in your theology on different doctrinal points, go listen to Shy Lin. I'm telling you, this guy is very, very solid in his understanding and in the way that he communicates the truth of the word through his music. It is awesome. He calls it lyrical theology, and it is so awesome. It's great.
This is for you, Daniel. You should also look up Beautiful Eulogy. They're on the same record company as them. And I love them. It's a group, and they're rap, but they're, like one guy told me before, it's almost like Shane and Shane for theology rap, where it's they do a lot of live instruments and things of that nature, and they're fantastic too. But anyway. All right, so Chris, what you got for us?
Has anybody ever recommended the What series on YouTube?
No.
Okay, it's WWUTT, or it's When We Understand the Text, and it's on YouTube, and they're about a minute long, and it's basically just he goes, and there's a podcast too where it's a pastor. He kind of teaches, but the YouTube videos are really they're a minute or a minute and a half long, and they explain like theological concepts or answer questions in a really in depth way. You kind of have to pause it maybe the second time you watch through it, but it's called WWUTT, When We Understand the Text, and just go look it up on YouTube, and you'll fall down a rabbit hole. And they're good.
You said they're only a minute long?
I think they're 90 seconds long.
Okay.
It's something like that, but yeah, it's a big recommend. They'll just take, you know, it'll maybe even like, is the prosperity gospel true? And then it'll go go through it in 90 seconds and answer that question. Or you know, what is salvation, you know, or salvation by grace through faith, or just stuff like that. And it'll
okay. Awesome. All right. So guys, as we get ready to get off of here, is there anything that anybody wants to add before we come to an end tonight?
Man, I would just add that I appreciate our topics, you know, just the discussion that we've had. I think it is encouraging. I think sometimes we get caught up in our own little world of whatever it is that we're doing in the life of our churches. And so to take this time and discuss different areas of ministry and how specifically we partner with those, that's certainly an encouraging thing to me. And it helps me to think in my context, okay, how am I partnering? Am I partnering? And what type of job am I doing in that effort? So it's been encouraging to me. So I appreciate that.
All right, Chris, you got anything for us, man?
No, thank you for having me on again. I don't really have anything to add. I think everything everybody said was great. That's what I need to add.
Just to echo what I echoed, what he echoed.
Well, guys, I've really enjoyed it. And Jamie and Chris, you have the joy of being the first two repeat guests of the podcast.
Yay, high five.
Well, guys, I've really enjoyed this conversation, not only tonight, but as we've recorded a few episodes in the last month and a half just on these topics. And listeners, we really hope that since January, when we started this series on church ministry positions, we've looked at the different roles of, you know, a pastor, a worship pastor, and youth pastor, lay elders, pastors' wives. We really hope that just listening to this has been an encouraging to you in whatever role that God has for you in ministry. And we're not done with these topics. I'm sure we'll revisit them at some point, but we're going to move on. We're going to address some different things over the next few months. But we really hope this series has been encouraging to you. And once again, as Daniel echoed a few weeks back, is if you have anything that you just want to hear us discuss or talk about, or if there's any way that we can be an encouragement to you, reach out to us, contact us, send us a message on Facebook or on the podcast page, whatever it may be. And then also don't forget, even though you did not get to win the $20 gift card to Amazon, don't forget to rate and review the podcast as well as share the episodes on Facebook for us. We really appreciate that. And here at the Everyday Ministry Podcast, we are praying for you and your ministry and that God be glorified in what you do to serve him. This has been the Everyday Ministry Podcast, and we're a podcast where everyday ministers get together to discuss ministry.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in. Strikes my back, bounce on two. Start kicking and screaming. Gotta get out of here fast. I'm running. I'm heading back to my roots and all the roads that lead to you. Setting off on a one-way train to a place where they know my name. Heading back to my roots and all the roads.
setting off on a one-way train to a place where they know my heading back to my room to know where I was.